construed as expanding the notion of whom we're going to admit.
Meanwhile, Crapser's individual effort to remain in the U.S. continues. His next immigration hearing is scheduled for June. Alexandra Starr, NPR News.
This is NPR News.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The World Trade Organization has ruled against country of origin labeling on U.S. packaged steaks and other cuts of meat that say where the animals were born, raised, and slaughtered. The governments of Canada and Mexico and House Agriculture Committee Chairman Michael Conway called for repeal of the law, but House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson says he would oppose repeal. The ruling means that Canada and Mexico can seek punitive tariffs on numerous U.S. products unless the law is repealed or changed. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending May 17th. Corn planted 85% versus 75% last week, and the five-year rolling average is 75%. Emerged corn 56% versus 29% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 40%. Soybeans planted 45% versus 31% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 36%. Soybeans emerged 13% versus the five-year rolling average of 12%. Winter wheat conditions look like this: 45% good to excellent, that's down 1 percentage point from a week ago, 36% fair, 13% poor, and 6% very poor. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 132,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China that during the 14-15 marketing year. And agriculture economists are saying that to date, bird flu could cost nearly $1 billion in the economies of the two states that's hit hardest, and that would be Minnesota and Iowa. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 18,295. It's down 3 points. The NASDAQ, 5,080. It's up almost 2. The S&P 500 is 2,129, and it is up about 0.5 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Freezes occurred this morning across North Dakota and portions of northern and central Minnesota. Damage to some corn and soybeans has likely occurred, but the impact is not expected to be tremendous. Most of the temperatures in the key production areas were not low enough for a long enough period of time to cause permanent damage that would warrant replanting. However, some farmers may be observing their crops in the next few days and notice the leaves burning up and shriveling back, and that might be enough incentive to go ahead and replant a few fields, but most of these producers will likely not do that and run only a small risk of lower yields because of the damage that may occur. In most cases, the crop will recover and still produce well if conditions are just right as we move forward through the growing season. Now, damage in North Dakota, more in the central and western parts of the state, might have been more impressive during the last 24 hours, with low temperatures this morning dropping to the range of 19 to 24 degrees, but most of that was in the interior western portions of North Dakota and impacting mostly small grains and not having much impact on oilseeds or coarse grain production. Well, in the heart of the Midwest today, we are still looking at conditions that will be mostly favorable for corn and soybean production. This week, we'll likely see a continuation of good field working conditions, especially in the eastern Midwest, where rainfall is expected to be more limited, and that will likely prevail as we move forward through this next several several-day period. This morning, we have mostly cloudy skies across a fair amount of the Midwest, with temperatures running mostly in the 40s and 50s. Some 30s, of course, is still occurring in the northwestern part of the region. As we go out over the next couple of days, we are going to see increasing rainfall occur across the western Corn Belt and much of hard red winter wheat country, too, for that matter. The precipitation is going to be significant enough to raise some potential for some flooding to occur, especially across some of the hard red winter wheat country. The storm systems that are going to be lined up to move across the region will eventually spread through much of the western Corn Belt, and over this next few days we'll see the ground continue to be saturated with moisture, and the potential for significant runoff will be steadily increasing. Now, the western Corn Belt will be by far wetter than the eastern areas will be initially, as we see the first couple of storm systems sustained mostly west of the Mississippi River. Now, with that said, the first round of precipitation will begin in the evening tonight across the western fringes of the Corn Belt in Nebraska and Kansas. Precipitation will spread into Iowa and Missouri as we move through the night, and by tomorrow about midday, the precipitation will be working its way into Illinois, but dissipating as it does advance to the east. We'll look for a second wave of precipitation to develop in the plains at some point on Friday, and that will move across the Midwest again over the weekend, but with the same scenario playing out, where the precipitation in the eastern Midwest will stay somewhat restricted for a while. The greatest precipitation in the heart of the Midwest will likely occur as we get into next week, and the rain intensity may be more significant at that point in time. We'll see greater amounts of delay in field work. So again, field progress is still going to advance across the Midwest over this next week, with the eastern parts of the Midwest seeing the best conditions. Temperatures will still be quite cool tonight in the upper Midwest. We will see some frost and freezes occurring across Minnesota and Wisconsin, but it's not likely to be any more serious than what occurred this morning, and the impact on crop production is not likely to be very great. The afternoon highs today will be in the 50s in the northwestern Corn Belt and 60s and lower 70s in the rest of the region. We'll look for temperatures tomorrow, 50s and 60s across most of the area, and then on Thursday afternoon, we'll look for highs in the 60s and lower 70s. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 537.5, down 17.5. September, 547.25, down 17.25. Soft July, 506.25, down 15.5. September is 514, down 15.25. July corn, 362.25, down 5.75. September, 369.5, down 5.75. December, 380.25, down 5.5. July soybeans, 949, down 5.5. September, 931.25, down 6.5. November, 929.25, down 5.75. July soybean meal, 307.40, down 60. July soybean oil, 32.50, down 28. June live cattle, 151.37, now 35, down 22.5. May feeders are 219.42.5. The sole little green spot on the screen, up 45 cents on my chart there. And June lean hogs, 82.22.5. They're down 17.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
When I got up and looked at the dollar chart, I couldn't help but notice the rapid rise of it again overnight. It really jumped significantly. I wonder if that's leading in part to the decline we're seeing in the grains today.
Well, that's part of it, but wheat being down hard is helping drag things. Remember when it was up 30 and 20 and 25, it helped drag everything up. Now that it's down 15 to 17, it's helped dragging it down. Plus, the weather forecast, which we're going to kill it, didn't happen. It didn't get killed. It didn't get flooded out. And it's in good shape. That's helping push it down. And then the dollar going back up. Remember, we went from 99.99 to 93. Here we are up over a buck, $1.06. That doesn't help it. at all either.
So the wheat's down 17 in the red. It's down 14 and a quarter in the July. These are Julys on the soft. So we must figure that that's about the value of what we were talking about for the freeze premium. That flood premium, though, is still out there a little bit because of Oklahoma and Texas and the like.
Well, there's still premium out there, and there's premium due to the El Nino that supposedly could do something to Australia. But you got to realize where we came from. We went to about 520, and then we went back to, what, 460? This time we went to 554 on the wheat. We've gone a long way in 2 weeks to the upside. Wouldn't be surprised to see it retrace at least half that, and we haven't got close to that.
Talk about coming a long way in a few weeks. What about those crop progress ratings?
Oh, yeah, they're way ahead of normal. Illinois was, I think, 92, and I don't even remember what the grip of the beans were, but nationwide corn and beans ahead of normal, and that's helped holding things down.
So there, when you think about the marketplace today, there's really nothing to offer the bull much hope today.
The world has plenty of everything. Crops look like they're going to be good. The forecasts are for good weather, so in the northern hemisphere. So that means more crop, more of it. More of it means less prices.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhard debates commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, July corn, 362.5, down 5.5. December's 380.25, down 5.5. July beans are 948 now, 48.25, down 6.25. November, 928.75, down 6.25. July soybean meal, 307.20, down 80. July soybean oil, 32.46, down 32 cents. Hard red winter July wheat is 539.25, down 15.75. Soft July, 508, down 13.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.